Matthew chapter 5, please. We're going back today to the Beatitudes. We've been preaching through this chapter, and so today we will continue to do that. It really is good to see you this morning. Today we come to one of the greatest statements that you'll ever find in the Bible. This is a great statement made by Jesus. And really, I think it's one of the key Beatitudes that we could really come to understand. It's seen in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One of the ways to understand this verse is to understand the context of what's going on. Jesus was talking to people who had been oppressed politically. He was talking to people who had been oppressed by taxation, all the taxes they had to pay to Rome, and you know they were getting really most of their income. They'd been oppressed by a religious system that only emphasized the outside. In other words, the rituals, the ceremonies, all that type thing. And really didn't say anything about what was on the inside. Jesus said, those who are pure in heart will see the kingdom of God. There is a question that is repeated through the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. And let me kind of give you an idea of what that question is, because it may be your question this morning. And the question is simply this: how can we know that we're going to enter the kingdom of God? That's what the Beatitudes are all about. Jesus said, this is how you get there. This is how you make it. You remember when Jesus came to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and really, Jesus really didn't ask Nicodemus' question because Jesus knew what was in his heart. And Jesus says, here's how you get to the kingdom. He said, no man gets there, no person gets there unless they are born again. Later on in Luke's gospel, do you remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? And he had the same question that Nicodemus did. And that was this: what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And so this question is repeated oftentimes in the New Testament. Because this religious system did not give them the assurance that they would see the kingdom of God. They lived in fear of one day meeting God without the assurance of eternal life with Him. And so Jesus comes on the scene here in Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, here's the answer. Here's how you can find freedom from your oppression spiritually. Here's how you can find freedom from your fear. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the kingdom of God. So I want to begin this morning talking about the meaning of the pure in heart. What does it mean when Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart? Well, again, he's talking about what's on the inside. When we say that we love a person, you know, we don't say that we love you with, I love you with all my kidney. I don't say that. I say, I love you with all my heart. And so that's how we express that. So what is the heart? The heart is the core of what you are. It is what is on the inside of every one of us. It involves our mind, our intellect. It involves our emotions. It involves our feelings. It involves all that we are at the very core of what we are. And so Jesus says this. He says, the pure in heart will see the kingdom. And so we think there about, you know, the process that Jesus is talking about here. And what the process is what is on the inside of man. Now think about the context again. When Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount, And he began talking about the Beatitudes. Again, look at the sequence. He said, blessed, the first one was poor in spirit, to recognize you have a need for God. Then he talked about blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He spoke of that hunger that we need for God. And then he comes to this beatitude here. Blessed are the pure in heart. When we recognize our need for God, when we mourn over our sin, when we have that hunger and thirst for God, then the result of that is that we will be pure in heart. So the progression here is very important to see. In 1 Samuel 13:14, do you remember the words of the Old Testament? This is in the context of Samuel talking to David. You remember the shepherd boy David who became King David? You remember what Samuel said? God does not look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart of man. That core of what we are. What is on the inside. So, you know, really be pure in heart. It does speak of attitude. The attitude of my heart, the attitude of my life. It speaks of motive. The motives we have, you know, to have a pure motive, to know God, to have that relationship with Him. It speaks of that. And so the meaning of pure heart, I think, can be seen in that. There's all kinds of purity that the Bible talks about. I'm not going to get into all that today, but I want to make it very simple. There's at least two that I want to talk about. The Bible speaks of positional purity. What that means is when we are saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure again? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That happens, we receive that pure heart when we are saved. But the Bible also speaks about practical purity. And that's where we live as believers, knowing that we are not perfect, knowing that we still have fault, knowing that we still have failure in our life, but yet the encouragement of the Bible is, you know, that when we face temptation, God makes a way that we can escape. Knowing, as the Bible says in 1 John, that when we sin, if we confess our sin, then He's faithful and just to forgive us. So that is practical purity. That's what it means to have this pure heart that Jesus is talking about. Now, having a pure heart is more than sincerity. These folks here that Jesus was talking to, this religious group, they were very, very sincere in what they believed. They were sincere in their ritual. They were sincere in their religion. But Jesus said, that is not enough. So a person can be sincere but be wrong. We have to come to Christ. We have to put faith in Him. To have a pure heart, we have to trust Christ and put our faith in Him. And so this is what He's talking about, the meaning of the pure in heart. Now, what is the way of the pure in heart? How do we get there? The way of the pure heart, I think, is to understand, again, talking about David in the Old Testament, that to have a heart for God, really, is what it is. Do you remember when Saul, you know, had become king of Israel, and then the next king of Israel was David? And so what God said was this, before David became king, He said, what I'm looking for is a man after my own heart. And so to have a pure heart means that we have a heart for God, for the things of God, the will of God, you know, the desire, our desire is for God in our life. And so what is the way of the pure of heart? Well, first of all, it's this. We got to realize that we can't get there on our own. It's not what we can do. It's not self-effort. Because the only way that we can have a pure heart, like Jesus says here, is by faith in Him. So it's not on our own. It's you know, through what the Lord does through us. It's through guidance. It's through His guidance and prayer. And so that's how we get there. Proverbs 20, verse 9, asks the question, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? And the implied answer there is no one. The only way we can have a pure heart, the only way that we can enter the kingdom of God is have forgiveness of sin through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Then I think another way is to the way of a pure heart, the way of a clean heart, is just to stay in the Word. John 15, you remember what Jesus said there? He said, you are clean through the Word that I have spoken to you. So it is the Word of God, and it's staying in the Word, and it's going to the Word that helps us to have that clean heart. I think another point to make here is this. The way of a clean heart is for that person who walks in the Spirit of God to be controlled by the Spirit, to let the Spirit lead us in our thoughts, in our work, in our walk. And so we're controlled by the Spirit of God. Then I think also as we pray, when we pray to God, and the more time we spend in praying, then what that produces in us is that pure heart. And as Jesus said, it is the pure heart that's going to enter the kingdom of God. Psalm 51:10, the psalmist cried out, create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me illustrate it this way. Psalm chapter 24, David was getting ready to go to the temple for worship. And in Psalm 24, David got to thinking about what he was going to do when he got to the temple. And in Psalm 24, David is writing, and he's writing down his thoughts, and he's writing something like this: who can ascend to the holy hill of God? Who can come into the presence of God? Who really is worthy to worship when I get to the temple? You know, how can I come into the very presence of God? And David says this in Psalm 24, those who have a clean heart and those who have a clean hands. And so David was aware of that. And he was aware of what it took, you know, to be able to worship God and to have that relationship with Him. And it all comes back to this idea of our communication with God, praying, living in the Spirit, being in His Word, understanding that we can't get there on our own. And so those are the type of people who have a pure heart, who will enter the kingdom of God when we realize our need for Him. There's a third truth that I want to talk about now, and that is the result of a pure heart. What does Jesus say here about entering the kingdom? What does Jesus say about those who have a pure heart? Well, Jesus said in verse 8 of Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let me give you a little translation of that. Here's what it is. They shall be continuously seeing God. Let's talk about that. We've never seen God face to face. No one here today has seen God in a physical way. We've not done that. But in a personal way, and in a practical way, in our relationship with Him, in having faith in Him, with eyes of faith, we do see God. Okay? One day, we will see God face to face. But what the Scripture promise here is this. What Jesus is saying, you will continuously see God. Even before we get to heaven, we will see Him. Job, in the Old Testament, saw God in his trouble. Now, you're familiar with all the trouble that Job had. all the loss that he had in his life. And when Job came to the end of that book, you know what he said? He said, I have heard about you with the hearing of my ear. But he says, now I really see you. I really understand you, God, through all that he went through. What about the psalmist? The psalmist over and over again in the book of Psalm, you know how he sees God? In creation. He talks about the glory of God in creation. He talks about the beauty of God in creation. So we see the presence of God there. I think we see God in just everyday circumstances. We see God there. That's how we continuously see the presence of God. The comfort we have of our loved ones who go into heaven is this. That for the first time in their lives, they see the face of Jesus. And so they see the presence of God. The promise here is that the pure in heart will see God. So that brings us to this question. Do you want to see God? Do you want to enter His kingdom? Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, you see, Jesus said, if you do, then you've got to be pure in heart. And the only way for that to happen is for the change that comes at salvation. When we put faith and trust in the Lord, we ask Him for forgiveness of sin, we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, and He comes into our life, and that change takes place. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about Barnabas, but we also talked about Paul, who was first Saul. His name was changed to Paul. But we talked about what happened on that Damascus road when God came into his life and that great change came about in his life. That's what it means to have a pure heart. That our heart is changed by God and by His grace and by the work of Christ on Calvary. Our hearts are still broken and saddened over the passion of Michael. And it's really left a big hole in our church here. But I was talking to Alessa this week. Now, I want you to listen to these words. We're talking about seeing God. We're talking about living in the presence of God continuously. And here's what Leslie told me. She said, in my darkest hour, I have seen the faithfulness of God. That's what it means to live continuously in the presence of God. To know that He is faithful. To know that He's true. In the circumstances of life, in the hardships of life, in the joys of life, in the celebrations of life, He is there. And so Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, because the pure in heart will see God. Do you want to enter the kingdom? Do you want to know that you have a right relationship with Him? It begins by placing faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Scripture today. And Lord, we all want freedom of guilt of sin. And that freedom is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this chapter today, Jesus was talking to people who were oppressed in a spiritual way. They wanted freedom from guilt. They wanted freedom from this religion. They wanted to know that when they died, that they would enter the kingdom of God. And Lord, today, that's the question we all have today. Will I enter Your kingdom? Can we enter the kingdom of God? And yes, we can. But the way we enter the kingdom It's not by self-effort. It's not religion. It's not all the stuff that's on the outside. But it really does come down to the issue of the heart. It comes down to our motives. It comes down to attitudes. It comes down to faith and belief. It really comes down to our heart. And so, Father, there we know that our mind is a part of that, what we think. We know that emotions are a part of that, how we feel. But, Lord, also it comes down to will. There has to be a willingness. There has to be a change of our will to want to do your will. To come to you on your terms, not our terms. There has to be that willingness to surrender to your way and your truth. And Father, I pray that there be those who make that decision. To put faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today. For it's in His name we pray.